Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, former surrogacy agency owner, and founder of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Today, I'm excited to have two very special guests all the way from Belgium, parents via surrogacy, Alex and Shaitan. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Hi, Carrie.
Of course. Hi, I'm so excited to be chatting with you. In my previous life as a surrogacy agency owner, I worked with many dads over in Belgium and Europe in general. So I'm super excited to be chatting with you and hearing all about your story. So why don't we just go ahead and jump in? If one of you'd like to start, just tell us a little bit about you as a couple, and then obviously your family, your child, and what brought you to the decision to do surrogacy.
Okay. Perhaps I can, well, I'm the older one in the relationship. And we met when I was 39.
And it was so close to 40.
and for me, let's say the road or the dream of being a parent was over already. I had put it away. And then I met Shaitan, who's a few years younger. And he was still very actively looking away to parenthood. Mm-hmm. And he already had some steps behind him.
With a friend, a single friend, we tried via IVF to get a baby. Mm-hmm. And that we would raise like a divorced couple, but it would, with the difference that we would get along, that we would have clear agreements, how to do it. Right. And we were on that journey for 3 years, and at some point we had to realize that nature was not on our side. I mean, mm-hmm. the card said that it should have worked, mm-hmm. and yet it didn't.
Right.
So we abandoned that road. It was very painful. You always think of the woman, the mother, losing her child, losing the embryo, the fetus. But as a dad, I can tell you, it hurts. It hurts as hell as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I met Alex, and
so he was still in this last, when I met him, he was still trying to be that. So I was there when, let's say, he and his friend they stopped, or they made the decision not to take this any further.
And then we looked at the option of adoption. Mm-hmm. But adoption rules in Belgium are pretty strict, and when you start the procedure, they look at your combined age. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, the age gap before, I mean, the age gap is not like dramatic, but they have that combined age of 75 years. So count the two together, you should not be above 75. And we were 77.
Gotcha. Wow.
And also, when you start an adoption procedure, you know in advance it will take long, it will take several years, and there is no guarantee that you will receive, well, if that's the right word, a child in the end. So there's that uncertainty too.
And that waiting time can go up to 10 years, like a decade. Like, imagine a decade. You change in a decade as well. And living for a decade and like hoping for, it seems more like torture than something good. Mm-hmm. So we were settling for having no kids, in fact.
Yeah. Now, I must be honest there, he had to convince me. Yeah. So he was still scanning and looking for possibilities. And then he mentioned men having babies.
Mm-hmm. We were not a fan. We had our
prejudices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had both prejudices. Yes. And, you know, then somewhere we said, we're going to do it. We go there. So that afterwards we can say we looked at everything with an open mind. We looked at it. We gave it a chance. But one side, nature didn't work for us. The second option, the legal part didn't work for us. And the third part, well, the ethical dimension didn't work for us. We didn't want to become a parent in that way. Yeah. But again, having all these prejudices.
Yeah, because you do have an image. Now we know it's a wrong image, but you do have an image of what or who a surrogate could be. That it must be a woman who needs money, that she does this because she needs money to finance whatever, but that there's a need that motivates her. And there we met experienced surrogates, and they were just normal, regular people with a warm heart.
That was kind of shocking and surprising.
It was in a good way, of course.
But you are not an exploited woman? Like, wow. Yeah,
right. Yes. So let's back up a little bit. And so you mentioned men having babies. So what men having babies is, excuse me, for what people listening may not understand, it's an organization that has conferences all over the world that educates. It was founded by a couple and a male couple who had their children via surrogacy. And it helps to bring resources and information to possible intended fathers, and that's agencies, lawyers, insurance professionals, all sorts of professionals, right? And so these conferences take place and you show up for 2 to 3 days and you get just tons of information coming your way, right? And I was at the Belgium Men Having Babies, so we may have crossed paths. You may have seen me speak. But I'm very active with Men Having Babies, and it's a wonderful organization. So you went to this conference where I call it the deer in the headlights. You probably had that look in your eyes from so much information coming at you.
Absolutely. Right?
And it is square head.
Yes. So, and indeed, it's exactly how you describe it. So with us, it was a weekend. So the Saturday, Sunday program and morning, evening, and you are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. There's just too much information. Now, in a good way, it is all things you need to know, you will want to know, but it's so much to take in. And then you have to let it sink in, of course.
And that is when you know, just as I said, like before, like you have a square head when you get out of there after two days. Like
it's a lot. But you walked. The important thing is that you walked away with a deeper understanding of surrogacy in general, but specifically why a woman and what kind of woman would want to be a surrogate, right? Correct. And so. That's Absolutely. Really important, I think, for people listening to understand, because there are so many misconceptions about why a surrogate would do something like this. And they often have that perception in their mind that surrogates are maybe that surrogacy in the US happens the way it happens in other countries, where the women are very, very poor, sometimes not doing it of their own free will, not done in an ethical manner, right? And so that you walked away not believing that anymore, and obviously chose to pursue surrogacy, and you chose an agency in the US, IARC Surrogacy, correct?
Yes, yes.
It was, so tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, it was in fact a very fun thing. Like the owner, Steve Snyder, he opened his speech with a line something like, "The only reason why you're here is because your parents want to become grandparents." And that was so spot on. It was like he knew our parents.
Right. That's funny. It's so, true for a lot of people in general, but it seems in particular, yes.
The other prejudice that we had, so the first one being the surrogates being exploited and poor woman and everything you want. The other one was that this is a very cold and very heartless, very business-like of a transaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that we didn't want to do. Like, if that's the way to parenthood, then we're not interested.
Right.
And when we had a conversation with him after his speech, yeah, you could feel all the warmth and the human side of it, and it made us.
He himself is a family man, and you feel this when you speak to him, when he tells you about his experiences. You feel he really wants you to be part of the thing that's called family.
Wonderful. And maybe then also for the other agencies that are there as well. I mean, they were good as well. They were nice as well. But this is the, in fact, the chocolate ice and vanilla ice cream question. Which one do you take? Well,
it just felt good. We matched.
Other ones are as equally good of the ones that we saw, but this one felt for us the best.
Absolutely. I love that. And they are one of the agencies that we definitely recommend at Surrogacy Mentor. I have a long relationship with IARC as colleagues and with Steve specifically. We're on the same speaking circuit with men having babies and know each other in the industry. So I can attest that you're correct. He does have a love and a passion for what he does. So tell me about, so you made the decision, we're going to do this, and you're working with IARC, and their job was to find your surrogate and then guide you through that process. So what was that like?
Well, the first thing what they asked us was to write our profile, and it felt like online dating.
Yeah.
Kind of is, right?
The thing is, like, we never dated online, so we're from that old school where you meet somebody. It was very strange, like is this good, is this enough, is it too much?
So in the end, they guide you through this. They explain to you how it works, how the surrogate chooses you. And in the beginning, it's a bit unsettling, perhaps, but it works.
And that is why it's so important to choose the agency that matches you, because you take their hand and they will only let you go when you're back home holding your baby.
Right.
We always had that. Yeah.
Yes, like they're with you the whole time. And I always have told people when I've spoken to them, all of the agencies, if they're doing the right thing, should be pretty much as good as each other, right? If we're all doing our job properly, we're all good. It's finding the one that feels right, like a right fit for you. Right. And it sounds like you did.
Now, it is very strange. Now, afterwards, you know, of course, but when you start out on this voyage, you don't know where you will end up. Will it work out? Will you come back with a baby? Those are big questions. And even paperwork. So along the way, there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. And you even feel that, I have to do this. I have to take care of this. And then on a certain moment, Stephen said, why do you even think you have to do this? That's what we are here for.
Right.
And it's true. They do everything.
It's overwhelming. You're prepared as an intended parent and you know how to read like complex documents and so on, but the sheer like mess of that. And then they guide you through it, like, okay, this is important, you really look at this, and what do you think of this and that, and so you're never alone.
And once you get this, then it's easy going. Because you know you can trust them. There's always someone telling you what to do next or what's coming up. We had a wonderful case handler, but there were several working on our case, and you really they know you. They really know you along the way, so and you feel safe. You can ask them anything. Anything.
That's wonderful. I love that. And so you worked with an American surrogate. Right. So obviously in surrogacy, privacy is a huge thing. So we don't talk about specifics when we're talking about parents or surrogates. But as far as what you can share with us, what was that first meeting with her like? And what was her situation? Why was she wanting to do surrogacy?
Well, it was going on a date, Carrie. That was it was like, yes. I hope we leave a good impression. And why was it for us that important as well? Because you're on a waiting list. And we weren't, in fact, high enough to be considered, or that's at least what we thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, oh, we need to move on a few places on the list before mm-hmm. the surrogates will look at us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were quicker than we thought. So like, yes. Oh my God, like we can even become parents like 3-4 months earlier if everything works out fine. So, you know, like the planning that you have in your head, I mean, compared to a 9-month pregnancy, like you have that and we have that too, only our terms are a bit longer than those 9 months.
Yes.
So she picked us, and when we met her, it was
immediately it felt good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It felt good. The first time we spoke, was it, did we,
she was in her car.
No.
We
yes, spoke. Correct. She was she took a little break from work. She went out to her car to have some privacy. Mm-hmm. So she was able to speak with us in silence. Mm-hmm. That was our first meeting.
And then the thing was, after that first meeting, we had to like separately talk to yes. the case handler and tell her what we thought.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, because as a surrogate, you can say like after that first conversation, like on paper it looked better, but also we as intended yes. parents, mm-hmm. we had the opportunities like maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And
almost immediately.
Yeah, like there was like not a bit like okay, if she wants us, we would be yeah. happy to go with her. And she said like, yeah, I'll go with them. I'll talk to my husband later. I'll fix this. Like, don't worry, it's done.
Yeah. So let's do this. It was easy.
It was love at first sight in a way.
Yeah.
So
how funny.
We were lucky there. Yeah.
So absolutely. This was to make sure people understand, this is all done via Zoom, FaceTime or Zoom or video chat, because you are in Belgium and she is in the United States. So your first meeting is happening via video chat, and behind the scenes, what has gone on with the agency is they've done a ton of work getting to know you and the surrogate, and they've created profiles of each of you, right? And then those have been exchanged. So you've read her profile, she's read yours, and the case handler, as you mentioned, the case coordinator, has determined based on all the criteria that each of you have set for each other, she for you and you for her, that this is going to be a good match, that you align on your values, your expectations, your hopes. And they have then presented this as a possible match based on all that behind the scenes work. So you meet, it feels good. And you guys are like, yes, let's move forward.
Yes.
Right. And she has been a surrogate before or no, before this?
She had. Yes.
This was this would have been like her third surrogacy. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
And because that is what we were looking for as well. Like we were so insecure for,
of course, yes,
regarding mm-hmm. this journey, and then also with surrogacy. So we wanted somebody who could take us by our hand and reassure us that everything will be fine.
Sure.
And we got that mother figure who did exactly that. It's like she knew what would be happening, and you know.
And she could inform us about what happened with her body.
Mm-hmm.
So because she had gone through it before, she knew, oh, this is that. And it's normal. We are I'm just saying something now, but in the fifth week. So this is normal when this happens.
No, but also about the procedure, not just the pregnancy itself. Like, oh, and now we will have to do this. And that's just for dad. Like, you have to go to the hospital. What's happening? Oh, no. It's just dad and dad. Wow.
Right. Because she's had several pregnancies before and she knows, you know, what's to be worried about and what's not. So that's great. And so at this point, you were working also with a fertility clinic in the United States to mm-hmm. create your embryos, right? With an egg donor? Or were they already created by this time?
No. Oh, by this? No, it was later on. When we met, you mean?
When you met.
No. We still had the embryos did not exist yet.
They did not exist. No. We were on it because, but as we were earlier than expected, that created an things had to accelerate a bit.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And so your clinic was in the United States as well. And so did you have to travel to the United States to donate your sperm for the embryo creation?
Yes. So we traveled to the States, and it was in fact while we were there that we first spoke or heard from the agency that there was a surrogate that selected us. So it was just meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
So we have the details of how this process works on our website. Okay. So we'll kind of skip forward a little bit. So you, I'm assuming, had a healthy, uncomplicated pregnancy, or were there unexpected complications?
Everything went very well. No problems.
Can I just also there, because we talk a lot of, you know, like, I don't know, call it karma, the universe, doing things. But we were in suddenly like 3-4 months earlier than expected.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the pickup of and so on. And then we come to the date of the transfer. And is when COVID hitting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So everything like closed down, locked out, like no way of doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then they told us like, oh, yeah, maybe in August, you know, end of summer, something like that. And then they decided to like, yeah, maybe beginning of summer. Mm. And then they moved it on to the last week of June. And I said, like, look, there's a window of opportunity. If you want it, you have. So we spoke to our surrogate because.
Do you? Of course, it was her decision if she wanted to travel during this, this difficult period, because it wasn't easy to travel, and she wanted.
Yeah, she wanted because her well-being was always our first priority.
Yes.
Whatever happened, the first question was not like, "Is the baby okay? Is she okay?"
Right.
That was for us always like rule number one. So she has to travel. Are you fine with this? It is your decision. We accept what you say. Right. And then we had like that one shot. And it
went. Wow. Because
after
that's amazing.
Had to close again because the rates were going up. But so that one window of little window of opportunity, it all worked. So
that's awesome. Yeah. The whole COVID thing, which we did an episode on a couple of weeks ago, threw a huge wrench into this surrogacy and IVF process. And you guys were right in the middle of it.
Yes, we were. It was an extra spice to the mix.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
the day our daughter writes her memoirs, it will be an additional chapter.
Right? Pandemic, surrogacy, international surrogacy pandemic, baby.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
If I can just go back to your earlier question, were there any problems? At the end, I think we were in week 37. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then our surrogate had a few mild issues. She had high blood pressure, and she went to her gynecologist. For a regular checkup. He said, "Oh, we have to follow up on this." And then at a next appointment, he said, "Okay, this might be preeclampsia."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and they decided to
keep her.
And then
they called us and they said, like, you have 48 hours to get here.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
During a pandemic.
Well, the good thing is we were on track with our paperwork.
Yes.
So the paperwork was done. Yes. So the main problem was for us, our suitcases weren't packed.
No. Yeah.
In the middle of COVID, we had to book our flights, like rebook our flights, because they were not foreseen at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Reschedule everything, get your COVID test.
Also these antigen tests, all these tests that you had to do. Like, also that is another chapter. Like, we will not bore you with those details. Yes.
No.
That's so much extra stress.
Yes. This, in fact, was the extra stress. All the rest, so take out COVID from this experience and it would have been a walk in the park, really.
Right.
Just the 48 hours as such was not a problem.
No.
Sure.
We would have done it. We would have swinged it. If we have to, we'll do it.
Right.
But that was...
Yes. For us, I think the most difficult part from the whole journey was COVID. Mm-hmm. But for the rest, yeah. But then again, so the surrogate, she was in hospital. She was well taken care of.
And as it was COVID, we were not allowed to be with her.
No.
So that was, again, there. That's where you think like, oh, well, you know, you have the chance to watch life come to this world, being born, coming to this world. And because of this damn COVID, you couldn't, but you know.
Yes.
So so you get to the U.S., you come to the U.S., and she has to be induced into labor because, or did she have a C-section? Yes.
No, she was induced.
So she had to be induced because preeclampsia, which is dangerously high blood pressure, was putting her and the baby at risk, and they had to get the baby out. Mm-hmm. And so she's induced, but you are at the hospital and you're not allowed to be in the room for delivery.
Exactly. Security measures. Like there was like only one person who could accompany her. And we always agreed that it should be her husband. So maybe also for the listeners, before even going on this journey with the surrogate, you talk about everything, like literally everything. Mm-hmm. So the day of the birth, how is that going to happen? Who is going to be where? Who is going to do what? And also we were prepared for the scenario. COVID rules are in place. And only one person can go in. Who is it? Mm-hmm. And it was for us never a question. It's her husband that goes in. Mm-hmm. And if only one of us would have had the chance to go in, we had decided that nobody would go in. Like it's or the two of us or none of us.
Right.
But we didn't even have to discuss that again
because
it was simply not allowed.
No.
Sure. Wow. That's hard. And pre-COVID, before all of this, it was still very difficult if there was a C-section for more than one person to be allowed in. When I delivered it as a C-section, my one intended mother sat with me. And then right as the baby was born, the other mother was allowed to walk in. I carried for two women, and then she had to walk right back out. So there's always been a lot of rules, but COVID just made it so much more strict. So you are at the hospital, she delivers, and are you like in the room next door waiting for your baby?
Yes, we did. Yeah. So we had her shut. And also, although she was induced, it was very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, apparently, like,
we were there.
We weren't there.
But no. Well, it happened without us being in the room, but we did feel part of the whole event, if you want,
because the husband took a picture as well, like from the moment that she was there. So like we weren't there, but you know, knowing her now, like she has good lungs, so we could hear her already at that point. Yes. So
that's and I awesome. Think also the fact that we had we still have a good relationship with the surrogate and her family. Mm-hmm. I think it puts your mind at ease also.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. So we were never worried.
No.
Also on the personal level.
Because also now today, because that was one of the very particular things maybe about us. We absolutely wanted to stay in touch with the surrogate. I mean, after what she has done, what her family has done for us, we couldn't just walk away.
No.
So she's still in our lives. She's she's aunt, uncle and auntie from the US.
Yeah.
And for her family, we are the funny uncles from Belgium.
I love that. I think that's amazing.
I think also for our child, it's very, we think, we don't know, of course, how she will feel about this, but we think it's very important that when she's older, when she will start asking questions, that we are able to say, well, this is your aunt. She brought you to the world so that we can give her birth a place.
Mm-hmm.
So that she's, any other question? Okay, it will not be a conventional answer, perhaps, mm-hmm. but that we can at least explain to her where she comes from.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's so important for them to have that understanding. I just actually FaceTimed with the little guy that I delivered. He'll be 8 years old this year. And I just FaceTimed with him the other day. And the very first thing he said when we got on FaceTime was, "I was in your belly." Like, he understands that, you know, he came from my belly, but that those are his mommies.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if you're, and I hope that if we are open about this and very specific, clear about this, that this will not be a problem.
Well, we have some experience on the matter. I mean, not exactly the same, but I was adopted. And I mean, my parents are white. I mean, I guess your listeners will figure, well, I figured out with the name of Shaitan, you're not white. So you're different, but as a child, explained to you, and it's the most normal thing. Like, no, I didn't come from the belly from mom. Like, I was adopted. I come from a country far away. So, and children are very open to these
of course
concepts because it is what it is. Like, what don't you understand? And
Absolutely.
That is something that we're going to do with our little one as well.
Yeah. I love it. And so you had a little girl. Mm-hmm. And how long were you in the United States with her before you traveled back?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. That's a long time. Was this because of COVID?
Long?
Oh, we didn't think it was.
We thought it was short.
Yeah.
Really? So, yes. I mean, it varies depending on the circumstance. But in my experience running my agency previously, I would say international parents stayed probably an average of 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. What was your reason for staying 6 weeks?
It was the paperwork.
But
that had nothing to do with COVID. It was just like, this is the time that you need in the US. And once the paperwork was done, we were kicked out of the country. So
we weren't kicked out, of course.
No.
We knew in advance. So it will be 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yes, because there are some things the agency needs to take care of, court meetings, things take time. And then also, and this is due to COVID, of course, the passport application.
I was going to say, all of the offices were closed for passports and all sorts of things.
Yes.
Nightmare.
So, and there was a real, very real possibility that it would take even longer.
Right.
But in the end, everything turned out very nicely, and we could stay in the planned 6 weeks.
So we were up in the north, and there was a possibility that we would have gone to Honolulu to get our passport.
Yes.
Right.
So
depending on
the availabilities, but we were very lucky. We could stay where we were and just get the passport from there.
Yes. That's great. Yeah, because that's really hard to do with the newborn baby having to travel around for the passport situation. So that's great that you were able to do that. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your life as parents. And she is how old now?
So almost 15 months. She's very active, very healthy. Are we tired? I think we are.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes.
And I know that you said that grandma was watching baby right now while you do this interview. So tell me about your family's reaction and their involvement now in your life. What's the childcare situation look like?
Well, maybe a thing that we would like to tell your listeners, your audience as well is when we started this journey, the grandparents were very delighted with the idea of becoming a grandparent, but they were along the road, they were really scared.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the most of the time that we had to manage fear was the fear of others.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very interesting to see because we had the connection with the agency, with the surrogates. So we felt at ease. And for them, it's like, how can you trust them? And what if, what if, what if?
They were worried or in our stead. Yes. So are you really going to come back with a child?
Right. So is the surrogate going to want to keep your baby?
Yes. And we explained to him, well, in the States, everything is very well organized. It's regulated. There are contracts. And even if you explain this,
like it's safe for them. It's safe for us. We win both.
And you know what's funny about that question? So, I mean, I've obviously talked to thousands of surrogates and parents in my career, but parents used to say that. They would say, how do we know the surrogate's not going to want to keep my baby, right? In the beginning when we were interviewing. And I would say, you know, it's really funny that you asked me that because the surrogates say to me, how do I know the parents are going to come pick up their baby? Because I already have my babies. Are they going to come get their child when it's time? So the concern's on both sides. And it's really funny to hear it from both sides because it's such a misconception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coming back to your question and also to our initial statement regarding the agency, the grandparents thought that we were a failure as a kid because it took us so long to provide them with a grandchild. So
we felt very much supported in the whole journey. I will not say that it was all positive. That there, you will always get some even family members who have negative viewpoints, and you can explain to them however you like, they will not want to understand. It happens, but they are the minority.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that on the whole, this was a very positive experience also for and because of our family members, because they were looking forward to welcoming a new family member.
And they're local, I assume. Are both sets of your parents local, your families, to you, where they are involved daily?
Well, they are. My parents live in the same city, but they are getting on age-wise. So they are not as actively involved as they would want to.
Sure. But also there we are. It's all about solutions. They're now moving closer.
Yes.
Moving closer because they want to be able to see their grandchild more often. Yeah. So
and they do what they can.
Yeah.
So they do babysit. And they do what they can.
Yeah.
Then Shaitan's parents, they're a little bit further out. But like this week, Grandma will come over and stay with us,
claiming her grandmother rights.
Yes.
So it's a bit different. And when they are here, or when they think that it has been taken like long enough now, it's now their turn. They will come and stay with us to have some quality time. But what is also very interesting, and we never thought about that as well, is the child matters, of course, to you, and it matters to your direct family, to your parents, your brothers and sisters, your siblings. But it goes much further than that.
Yeah.
You have the single friends who look at that baby. For example, that friend with whom I tried to have a baby, like it's her daughter as well. You see what I mean? Yes, like absolutely. Not, she will not come and tell me like, what are you doing to my kid? No. It's not like that. But it's you can feel that it's different. We have now a situation where our daughter is not having two sets of grandparents, but actually four.
Yes.
She's filling in that grandchild role to four couples.
Yes.
We had never seen that coming.
Right. Mm. And that's why I asked those questions about like your families and how involved and, you know, the grandma's babysitting, because people don't realize how impactful this is for, like you said, so many layers of people. In my situation, it was the very first grandchild on both sides for both women. And so in the delivery room, we had grandmas and aunts and cousins and brothers. I mean, everyone, right? Because this was the baby. And it goes beyond just the couple and the surrogate. It changes entire families.
And also like certain family links, to be very honest, because there were like, you know, family members I was not necessarily in contact with. Like, you know, you would see each other and you would have like a very civilized conversation. Mm-hmm. And now I get a message like, hey, it's like 3 days that I haven't seen a picture of of the little one. Like, what's happening? So like,
right.
You know, the dynamics change.
Yes. And for me personally, what I felt, also the fact that you are, in our case, two men with a child, mm-hmm. The focus on a same-sex couple, it falls away completely.
Right.
That's so not important anymore.
Right.
So it all now is focused on that child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Absolutely. Fact that she has two fathers, it is so not important. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks past it now. Yeah. If it was a problem in the past, it is so not now.
Sure. I love that. It's beautiful. So, I mean, I could talk to you guys forever because I just love you and I love your story, but we do have to wrap up. But I want to know, what is your one piece of advice? And you could each give your own piece. What is your one piece of advice to men who are just starting out and considering surrogacy?
When selecting an agency, speak with them, talk to them, and go by your gut feeling. It must feel right.
And also, I mean, just adding to what Alex just said, an agency will always provide you contacts in your region. So we did that as well. Like, yeah. We spoke to people who use the same agency, like getting their insights, getting like, how does it work?
And also there is a network out there. Mm-hmm. So you will meet people who have gone through the same steps that you're going to take. So speak with them. Reach out to them. And that's what I think we want to do now too. If people have questions, we will happily answer. That too, speak with people. Yeah.
My piece of advice would be is hang in there. Mm-hmm. It can be overwhelming at some points. If you want to become a parent, there will be some roadblocks. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but there is also like the financial side to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, God knows, not easy. And there are ways to solve this. And also, maybe I shouldn't be saying this. You can also, like, you know, there is a gray zone that you can use it.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes you really have to use everything that you can get. And at some points, it sounds like, oh, 2 years, it's so long.
It flies by. Yeah.
Like that. It flies like.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when you sorry.
And just coming back to the 6 weeks in the States that you thought were long, enjoy the time. Mm-hmm. That you have. Yes. So once your child is born and the time that you have before going home, yeah? So that it's just your family of three. Mm-hmm. This is such a very special time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Enjoy that time.
Yeah. This is actually what we say to straight couples who are becoming a parent as well. Like, try to lock yourself up.
Yes. Try to keep the family away for just
as long as you can. As long as you can. And because for us, that's the best moment, the time. It's so intimate.
Yeah.
That would be, I think. Yeah.
Because once you get home with that baby, everybody wants that baby.
Yes.
And
yes.
That time is gone.
Yes. And also expectations. Also expectations. People expect you to do this, do that. And, you know, it's just. Everybody wants to come and see. And if it takes too long,
So, look for the good feeling with your agency.
Yeah.
And enjoy the time once the child is there. Enjoy the time that you have with the child and also with the surrogate. This for us was very important. The feeling, the connection with the surrogate and her family. I think for us, this is a big part. We feel that we now have a family in the States.
Right.
Yes. And
that is maybe also that part where we say that it's so enriching, because mm-hmm. the surrogate and her family and her ecosystem, mm-hmm. they are, I mean, the opposite of what we are. I mean, the way we live, obviously we share certain views, but not everything. Mm-hmm. And it's so enriching to see that somebody would go through pregnancy, surrogacy, just to help a random stranger.
Someone you don't know.
And yeah. with the risk that person just takes the child and you'll never hear from that person yeah. again. And still they accept to do that. And, you know, like the compensation also, like people like, oh, the surrogate is doing it for the money. Like, really, for those peanuts, I wouldn't ruin my body for that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I just love your story. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to help shed some light on the parents' perspective of a surrogacy. And I love that you came into this really skeptical and walked out with just this beautiful story and connection and relationships. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening. And now you can relieve grandma from yes. baby duty. If you can get baby back from grandma, right?
I think it's more that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell. I want to again thank our very special guests, Alex and Shaytan, for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you. Take our easy 2-minute quiz on our website to see if you qualify. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.